What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings, and you are watching or listening to Gunday Brunch, sponsored by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. If you're watching this on Open Air Media, please make sure you share this video link to help grow both that platform and the show. And of course, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you go ahead and subscribe to the show and leave us a five-star review with a rating so that more people can find the show, because again, that algorithm actually does help grow the show. Today I am flying solo, as we all have very busy schedules and busy lives, and we wanted to get an episode in the can for you guys. And so we are talking about something that is very near and dear to my heart, and it's a question I get asked a lot. And that question is, Caleb, what should I get for my first revolver? And it's an interesting question, because there's a lot of really good options out there. And because I am an employee of Taurus USA, I'm going to say right off the bat is you should go buy 25 Tauruses. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to make a use case for Taurus as a first revolver purchase, but I'm also going to talk about sort of broad categories of revolver, because the question for what should I get for my first revolver is sort of dependent on what you're doing as a shooter right now, right? If you're a strictly self-defense focused shooter, or you're more of a competition oriented shooter, or you're sort of a hybrid where your primary goal is self-defense, but you use competition as a way to get better with your gun for the purposes of self-defense. Maybe you're just the sort of guy who likes to go out and plink. Maybe you're a hunter who's interested in getting into handgun hunting. So we're going to look at all of those use cases here in this episode of Gunday Brunch. And we'll start with the first. Let's say that you are primarily interested in self-defense with a handgun, and you have a bunch of 9mm handguns. You've got Glock 19s, you've got Taurus GX4s, you know, whatever, right? You have all of the 9mm. What your first revolver then should be, and this is a place where the Taurus line really, really shines, I would recommend a first revolver purchase for you, that person who is primarily a self-defense focused shooter and is interested in revolvers as either a fun gun or something for self-defense. I recommend the Taurus 692. And the reason I recommend the Taurus 692 is because it has that 9mm convertible cylinder. And that means you don't have to go get a new, you don't have to go invest in new ammo calibers, right? You don't have to go buy a grip of 38 Special or something like that. You just get the Taurus 692, you swap in the 9mm cylinder, maybe you buy some extra moon clips, and that's it, you're done. And it will work with all of your ammo, unless you're running like really cheap steel cased, you know, Serbian ammo or something. It doesn't like that. I know, because I tried it. Now, I do have a couple other choices for you if you are that, again, self-defense focused guy who really wants, who's looking into a revolver, self-defense guy or girl, I should say, self-defense focused guy or girl, because there are some other options out there, because you could be looking at a revolver for concealed carry as a supplement to your existing stable of guns, right? And in that case, getting a medium framed large format revolver really doesn't make sense, because you're not going to carry that. I will be the first person to tell you that carrying a revolver like that, one of those big guns that doesn't really get any of the benefits of the revolver utility curve, is an affectation, even when I do it. And I'm fine with that, because I like carrying them. But in this instance, the other options that I would recommend, again, if you're a primarily self-defense focused person who is looking for a revolver either to supplement that training or as an alternate carry gun, there are small format 9mm revolvers out there. I think, you know, I'm a huge fan of both the Taurus 905, which we manufacture and I think is a great gun, and the Ruger LCR in 9mm. I think that you can't go wrong with either of those guns. I, of course, would recommend the Taurus 905 and say that you get that, but if you tell me that you bought an LCR, I'm gonna be like, that's a good choice. The LCR is a solid gun. And the 9mm LCR, especially so. I think one area where the 905 is a bit superior to the LCR in that aspect is that it's a little bit heavier. And 9mm doesn't have a ton of recoil, even out of a small format revolver, to sort of compare. It's around what you would sort of expect to get out of 38 Special Plus P. So if you're doing that, if you're getting the Taurus 905, the slightly increased weight might be beneficial. But again, LCR, solid gun. Me, I'm going to recommend the 905 because that helps pay my mortgage. And I think that they're actually pretty much level pegging in terms of quality and in terms of end user usability. The LCR probably has a better trigger. I'll say that. Those LCRs have fantastic triggers. So that's our first category, is if you are interested in self-defense only, right? And you've already got a whole grip of 9mm. Now, what if you are a strictly competition shooter? Like, you shoot matches, you want to get a gun for competition, and you want to, you want to get into revolver division, right? And we'll say, for the sake of this argument, that you are primarily a USPSA shooter, because actually we'll do all of it. All right, so we'll start with, you are primarily a Steel Challenge shooter. That is your game, that's what you do. You wanna shoot Steel Challenge with a revolver now. Cool, there's so many good options for you. Starting with Rimfire, because I think they added a Rimfire revolver division. I don't know, I can't keep up with all the Steel Challenge rules. Starting with Rimfire, you could get I forget what the model number is for the Smith & Wesson. I want to say 617. It's a 10 shot, and it's pretty damn good. And you can put, not TK Custom, Apex. Apex Custom makes a phenomenal aftermarket trigger setup for that thing, so you can get the trigger weight down, because the trigger in the 617 is brutal. But you put in that aftermarket trigger setup and it gets the trigger weight down and you get a pretty good end result out of it. Also recommending on that list would be the Taurus 992. This is another one of our switch cylinder guns on the Tracker series. It has a 22 long rifle cylinder and a 22 mag cylinder. If you're interested in Steel Challenge revolver, just put in the 22 long rifle cylinder. I will say this as a caveat, my 992, and I can't speak for all of the 992s out there, but my 992 is very picky about bullets. It likes fast, light bullets. It doesn't like 40 grain bullets, which is unfortunate because those are really easy to get. It really likes something that's like 36 grains or even lighter. It loves Federal Punch, which sucks for me because if I want to shoot it in a match, that means I'm shooting Federal Punch, which is kind of expensive. But it's a 9-shot. There's speed loaders are readily available for it as well from our friends over at Speedbees. So those are both very viable options. The Smith 617, don't quote me on that being the model number. It's hard to keep track of all of Smith & Wesson's model numbers. And of course the Taurus 992. So Steel Challenge, settled. All right. You are primarily an IDPA shooter and you want to get into revolver division. This one's wide open because there's a ton of different choices and it depends on what you want to do in revolver division. I would say that your best choice is pick any of the four major revolver producers, right? Taurus, Ruger, Smith, and Colt, and go get yourself a 6-shot 357 Magnum medium frame revolver. So a 686, Taurus 65 or Taurus 82 like I've been running, or a Ruger GP100, or a Python, or the King Cobra, I think is also a 6-shot on that line. Go get any one of those. Go get a bag full of speed loaders, preferably Safariland Comp 3s or Speed Bees, and that's it. You're set. Those are all really good choices for getting into IDPA revolver. And the differences ultimately come out to splitting hairs, right? I think that the GP100 is probably the best built revolver on the market right now. It's an absolute tank. I think that if you don't want to break the bank and you just want to get into it and you want to see if you like IDPA revolver and you have some fun, the Taurus 82 is the right choice because it's extremely affordable. And as I have proven by shooting one for like 11,000 rounds, also built like a tank, but not as tank-like and also nice. So how can I put this? The GP100 is like a nice tank. It's like a luxury tank, right? It's like an M1 Abrams, I guess. And the Taurus 82 is also a tank. It's just not a luxury tank. So I don't know. I don't know, and I'm not autistic enough to know about tanks enough to be able to make that comparison. But it's a really good tank. It's just not like a bougie tank. So anyway, that's what you want to do. You want to get a six shot, 357 Magnum or 38 Special, and they're all really good. If you get one from Ruger, Taurus, Colt, or Smith and Wesson, you're gonna get a great gun, and you're gonna be perfectly happy with it, and it's gonna last forever. And that's kind of the end of that one. Now, if you want to go hard mode into IDPA Revolver, there is another way you can do that, because IDPA Revolver also allows mood clip fed guns. But then you're realistically only looking at three options, because the gun's got to make major power factor, which I could do a whole. If you don't know what major power factor is, it just means it's gotta have a higher. All right, you know what? I'll explain power factor real quick. If you don't know, power factor is used by the shooting sports to judge how powerful a gun is. It is muzzle velocity times bullet weight in grains divided by 1,000. Okay. In USPSA, major power factor is defined as 165. All right, go work the math backwards. Minor power factor is defined as 125. In IDPA Revolver, and this is important, you have two power factors. If you want to use a moon clip gun, you have to make a 155 power factor. If you want to use a regular speed loader gun, you can get a 105 power factor, which is purposefully set low to allow 38 special revolvers to compete with factory ammunition, okay? That's important. It's important because I think that there is a competitive advantage to running a speed loader gun with low power factor ammo, because I think you can shoot the gun just un poco faster, just a little bit faster. But that's neither here nor there. So if you wanted to get into IDPA Revolver and you want to shoot a moon clip gun, you've got to have that major power factor, so you can't have like a 9mm moon clip gun or something like that. So it's got to be one of basically three guns. It's either a Smith & Wesson 625 and 45 ACP, or it's a Smith & Wesson 610 in 10mm, then you use 40 Smith & Wesson moon clips to shoot 40 out of it, or it's a Ruger GP100 Match Champion in 10mm that you use 40 Smith & Wesson moon clips to shoot 40 Smith & Wesson out of. There's also, I don't know if Kiapas still makes their 40 Smith & Wesson Rhino. If they do, I guess that would be on the list, but it's not. This isn't an anti-Kiapa thing. This is literally me not knowing if they still make that gun, right? So I have no idea if they do or not. But maybe they do, who knows? But even if they did, it wouldn't be one of the ones that I would recommend when the Ruger GP100 Match Champion is out there, and that's the best one of those. Of all of three of those guns that I just listed, the GP100 Match Champion's the winner. You get that, you get some 40 Smith & Wesson moon clips from TK Custom. You're not gonna have to hand load, but you're gonna want to. Because finding factory 40 ammunition that is actually at a low enough power factor, most factory 40 ammo is making like a 180 power factor, all right? It's maybe not 180, 175-ish for sure. So it's really moving, and it's got a lot of recoil, and it's not great to shoot. So you're gonna wanna find something that's a little bit lower on that spectrum to shoot those matches with. Now, I will say, I did shoot a ton, and I mean a ton, of the Federal Syntech 205 grain 40 Smith and Wesson match ammo, the action shooting ammo. That was great. If you were looking for factory ammo, that is what I would recommend you get. Unfortunately, it's a little bit more expensive than regular 40 Smith and Wesson ammo. And that's actually why, for the record, I'm not a huge fan of the 625, the 610, or the GP100 in 10mm so I want to get into IDPA competition shooting with a revolver, because you have to hand load for those. Now, if you were already hand loading for one of those calibers, like let's say you were a single stack shooter primarily, then sure, you're already making your own 45 ammo, just start making it for the revolver. Although be aware, you're going to have to pay more attention to your brass resizing for revolvers than you do for a 1911. But that's, again, different story for a different time. But yeah, that would be kind of my breakdown. But I don't like the idea of the 610, the GP100, or the 625, because again, you have to reload if you want your ammo to shoot nice out of those guns. And if we're just talking about, oh, I've been shooting IDPA for a while, you know, and I want to kind of get into, try a revolver division out, your best bet is to go get one of those aforementioned 38 specials or 357 magnums, because you can compete with off-the-shelf 38 ammo, right? You can go to Cabela's or wherever and buy yourself a box of 158 grain lead round nose from American Eagle, and there you go, you've got your match ammo sorted. So that would be my recommendation there. Which, of course, brings us to USPSA. So, if you are a USPSA shooter and you're looking to get into revolver, why? It's such a struggle. But it's not that big a struggle. It's just so much different shooting revolver in USPSA than it is in IDPA. You know, the thing about shooting in an IDPA is because the courses are so short, right? You don't feel like you're constantly reloading the way you do in USPSA. Because when I've shot USPSA revolver, I swear it just feels like I'm always reloading the gun, and it gets tiresome. But if you want to, then there's some really good options out there in terms of guns, if you can find them. And that's kind of a big if, because they're all relatively low production, because honestly, the number of people who want to shoot USPSA revolver is a very small number, right? And USPSA changed their rules so that really the only guns that are competitive in their revolver division are 8-shot guns that are fed from moon clips, all right? And they got to make minor, so 38 special gets a little bit tougher to get to that minor power factor threshold. You've either got to be very, very choosy about which 38 special plus Ps you shoot, or get the gun rechambered in 9mm and do that. I guess, which is an option. A lot of guys have done that. You could also, in theory, shoot 38 super out of a 357 Magnum gun. I don't recommend that because that's just, it's not smart, but, you know, whatever. Do whatever you want with your own life, right? They're your hands, not mine. But let's talk about the actual guns. So, honestly, probably the best one out there is the Smith 929, right? 8-shot 9mm. It comes with a comp on it, which you can take off and just put something else on. The barrel's a little bit too heavy for my taste. Actually, all of the guns in this category are too heavy for my taste, but they are what they are because they're built for that purpose. So your three contenders are your Smith & Wesson 929 in 9mm. It's probably the best option because it's a 9mm. The Ruger Super GP100 Match Champion in 357, they discontinued their 9mm Super Match Champion, probably because lots of the samples that got out into the world would tumble bullets. They would just random bullets, which I had like an 85% classifier get turned into like a 40 because I had two hits in hardcover and the bullet went through sideways and I just was about to crash out. I got rid of that gun after that match. So you've got that. You've got the Ruger GP100 Match Champion in 357. And then just recently we have the Taurus 608 Competition. I have a 608 Competition. I have two, actually. I have not shot them in any USPSA matches because I haven't shot any USPSA matches in over a year. But the downside to the Super GP100 and the 608 is that they're 38s, right? The 929 is a 9mm. The downside to the 929 is that it has the worst trigger of the three of those guns out of the box. It is, I don't know, and this is, again, I'm not throwing shade at Smith. I don't know why they can't put better triggers in their guns. I really don't understand that. The Super GP100's got a pretty good trigger out of the box, and then you can modify it very, very easily by changing out the mainspring. You can get a really, 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 really good trigger in a $9.29, but you have to go spend another $300 on aftermarket parts to get that good trigger. Whereas with the GP100, the Super GP100, it's like $10 for a box of springs. And on the 608 competition, it's $0 because the mainspring that we put in the gun is adjustable. So you can actually adjust the trigger pull from like 8 pounds to 14 pounds. Put it wherever you like it on that scale, and then you're done. It's a really clever design. One of my favorite things that we've done. And we don't spend enough time talking about how rad it is, because it's rad as hell. But, you know, honestly, get the 608 competition. And this isn't me being a Taurus employee telling you that. It costs way less money than either of the two options. It does everything they do except for shoot 9mm. It's got the adjustable trigger in it. And if you want to do an action job on it, that's fine. Any of the Taurus medium frame springs will fit in the gun. You just have to take the little doohickey. You'll figure it out when you take the grips off of it, okay? Get that one. Get the friggin' 608 competition, please. Also, I would really like to sell more of those guns because I think they're cool, and they didn't sell very well. And they didn't sell very well because, you know, this is sort of the problem, right? Is guns like that, like the Super GP100 Match Champion, like the 929 and like the 627 V-Comp and the 608 competition, guns like that that are purpose-built for USPSA competition are a hard sell because the average consumer doesn't actually care about USPSA. And for even if all 25 USPSA revolver shooters went out there and bought guns, that wouldn't sell me out of them. Right? I need normal gun owners to be like, ooh, I do want an 8-shot 357 Magnum that takes moon clips, right? And as it turns out, most normal gun owners don't care about that. When they buy revolvers, the revolvers that normal gun owners buy are small frame revolvers for self-defense and medium frame revolvers for plinking and, you know, just to have a revolver to add to their collection, right? Which is great, and I love that, but yeah, go buy a 608 competition. If you're listening to this, go buy a 608 competition. Hunters. Hunters, hunters, hunters. You want to get into handgun hunting, what revolver should you get? That's a good question. Because there's a lot of choices out there. Like, I guess it depends too, like, what do you want to hunt with it, right? You want to go after, you know, white-tailed deer in Western South Carolina and the Midwest or places like that, 357 Magnum, just any of them, get a 6-inch barrel so you get a little bit more muzzle velocity out of there. They're all great. Just get one of those, right? Most of them have some way of mounting optics on them, whether it's the rails on the Raging Hunter or replacing the rear sight on the Smith. I don't know for the Ruger, but most of them have some sort of way you can mount an optic on it. Like, go do something like that. That'd be great. You'll be fine. Everything will be fantastic. Get the 6-inch barrel option. Go sit in your tree stand. Kill a deer. Be happy, right? Now, if you're interested in something a little bit bigger than deer, like let's say you want to go black bear hunting or you want to go wild pig hunting, because I'm actually not a big advocate of 357 from a handgun on wild pigs. 357 from a rifle, different story. 357 from a rifle is a completely different projectile than, it's an M1 carbine is what it turns into. It's insane. But also bullet selection becomes a lot more important for a number of science reasons. But anyway, I digress. If you're, honestly, look, what you should get if you want to get a revolver for handgun hunting is a 44 Magnum. And I'm not even going to bully you about double action or single action in this, because I have softened my stance on you must shoot this gun double action only at all times. And the reason I've softened my stance on that is because, honestly, I was just kind of being a dick about it. I had developed a level of skill at shooting a double action revolver that allowed me to be like, no, you should shoot this gun double action at all times. And that was... Honestly, yeah, it was just me proving a point, right? Because I can do it, everyone should do it. And that's not realistic, especially when you get into these hunting caliber guns, right? And especially when you're talking about trying to take an animal ethically, you need to be able to shoot the gun as accurately as possible. And I recognize that not everybody out there is interested in pursuing excellence with shooting a double action revolver to the level that I have for the last 15 years of my life. So once you kind of come to that conclusion, then yeah, shoot him single action, right? Which means go get any, here's my recommendation for your first hunting revolver. Get a Taurus Raging Hunter and 44 Magnum. And I say that again, this is entirely, well, one, I think the gun's great, right? I think the gun's great. I really, really love my Raging Hunter and 44 Magnum. I've killed a bunch of stuff with it in Africa, and I should add all double action, but killed a bunch of stuff with it in Africa. I love it. I'm going to take it to kill a black bear this year because I love it, and I'm very excited about that hunt. I need to go dial the gun just to make sure it's still zeroed and everything because I don't know when I'm going to get to shoot it again in between now and the hunt. But anyway, regardless, and I think the Raging Hunter and 44 Magnum is the best choice because the gun's built like a tank. You're not going to break it. The single action trigger in the 44 Magnum is astonishingly good from the factory. And this is important, is if you're just thinking about dipping your toes, just a little dibble dabble in this, then it's going to be more affordable than the other options out there. And, you know, you'd be like, oh, I really like this gun. Great. And you're going to be perfectly happy with it. And it's that is a factor, especially in today's economy, is that it's going to be more affordable than those. Even if it's not much more, it's certainly more affordable than what's out there from Ruger and Smith & Wesson and Colt. And I think that matters. And that sort of brings me to the end of this episode, which I want to talk about that first-time revolver purchase. And here is my use case for Taurus, primarily over any of these other manufacturers. It's that the guns are more affordable. All right. And as I've said, as we said in our marketing and stuff like that, affordable doesn't mean cheap, especially not in this instance, because the guns are also good. But what that affordability gives you is the ability to get your toes wet, to try something out new that you haven't tried out before and do it without breaking the bank, right? If you go out and you spend $1,200 on a brand new Smith & Wesson, God bless you. You know, I'm happy that you bought that and I hope you love that gun. But then if you don't love that gun, it's either going to sit in your gun safe and not get shot, which is a waste of $1,200, or you're going to try to flip it on the secondary market and find out that you're not going to get anywhere near $1,200 for that gun. Versus you go and spend, I don't know, $500 on a Taurus, and if you decide you like it, great. You can shoot the piss out of it until the wheels fall off, shoot triple the amount that you paid in ammo or paid for the gun in ammo, and then be like, man, I really like revolvers. I'm going to go buy some more. And then you go buy whatever you want. Or you can find out that you don't like it very much and you can let it sit in your gun closet. And instead of having spent, you know, lit $1,200 on fire, you've only lit like $500 on fire. And that matters to people, especially in this economy. Because, man, it's hard out there, bro. It's hard out there with, you know, people are trying to save money. But if you want to get into a revolver, that's why I think, you know, that's why we as a brand make so much sense, because we allow you to get into these spaces, get a quality product in these space, and not light your entire wallet on fire. And that is something that I'm proud that we get to do as a company. Now, that is it for this episode. Everyone go buy a revolver. I'm Caleb Giddings. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, sign up for updates. I think we're going to start putting out emails soon, which that'll be fun for everyone. But yeah, that's it. Thanks everybody for listening, and I or we will be back next week.